66 tonight. Psalm 66. And I want to bring you a message on this thought, rules to live by. Everything has rules. And I want to give us some I believe the Lord would have us to have tonight. I want to read just the first 7 verses of this chapter, and then we'll bring the message. He said, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. And the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turneth the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold all the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the good day. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for the good singing that our hearts have felt and heard tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd take thy word and encourage your children tonight. And may your name be honored and glorified. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Now, God willing, Brother Marvin will be here Wednesday night to preach for us. And I hope he doesn't get sick and can't come. But if he doesn't come, Brother Hillary, you be ready because they'll need somebody. All right. That's all we need to know right there. And but all of us are governed by rules. There's rules for everything. There's rules for wiring a building with electricity. There's rules for playing the guitar or any instrument. There's rules for everything. I watched a little bit of a football game this afternoon. Rules. It was officiated and run by rules. And if a fellow broke the rule, the referee threw a flag and caused a penalty, called a penalty rather. And there's rules on driving, on the having to stay on the right side of the road, and all these kind of. There's rules in marriage. A lot of rules. You get more of them as the day go by. And young men, one rule is, the cardinal rule is, don't ever let your wife ask you a question that'll get you in trouble. If she says, "Does this dress make me look big?" Don't answer her. Don't answer. Don't answer. Don't say a thing. Say it's beautiful. That's all you can say. But there are rules in everything. And as a result of rules, that means there needs to be a rule maker. Somebody who has made these rules. They're not made to cause us hurt. They're made generally to keep us safe and on the right track. And here in verse number 7, the Bible says he ruleth by his power forever. And boy, I'm glad God is the great ruler. I'm glad he has power over everything. He has power over creation. And boy, I'm glad God didn't have to go to a committee and ask them how to make creation. He just made it, and it was done. Anytime man gets involved in things, it generally sometimes doesn't turn out for the best, but God just made things, and he set rules on how they're to live. He said to certain animals, "You got to eat this or you won't live." Like, for example, to the fish in the sea, if you get out of water, you die. And as a rule, he tells the fowl of the air, if you go in the water, you drown. Now, some do dive in, get food and all that, but I'm just saying God made rules, and he's got rules to govern us by. And I want to say God's got some rules for you and I to live by this year. And I believe if we live by these rules, I believe, my dear friend, we'll be made the better for it. But now if we refuse to follow the rules of God, let me read you what Solomon said would be the result of it in Proverbs 25 and verse 28. The Bible said, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You'll never make it. But may I say that God is the great ruler. He says in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, He prophesied and said, But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. I'm glad tonight that I can report to you that God has been, God is, and God always will rule this world. Now, if we refuse to follow the rules or the guidelines that He has set down, we'll find ourselves as a city without walls. We'll be torn down. But God's got some rules, and He set them so that you and I could be the kind of Christian that would please Him in this day and time. My daddy used to tell us boys, he had just one simple rule. He said, if you eat my food, sleep my beds, you do what I say. That's a pretty good rule. And if you disobeyed it, you paid the price. But I'm just saying everything has rules. Now the first rule God has for all mankind is that we have a personal faith in Him, that we know Him as our Lord and Savior. That's the only way that a man, and we said this morning, will ever get to go to heaven is that he is saved and born again. Why did Jesus come? Listen to what Matthew said in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. I mean the very first chapter. We just recently finished Christmas and we've read these verses and we know them. But let me just remind you again why He came. The Bible said, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus, my dear friend, came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that, my dear friend, included you and me when He said that. All men are born lost. I know a child, till they reach the age of accountability, if God takes him home, they'll be home in heaven. No doubt in my mind, I don't lose sleep over that. I know that's what the Bible teaches, and I'm not worried about that. But there will come a day when these new little ones that have been born recently will reach the age of accountability, and they will have to make a conscious decision. Am I going to follow the rule that God set down and said to me that I must be born again to get to heaven? And if they'll follow that rule, they'll go to heaven. God wants everybody to be saved. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And isn't it sad that people will go there and not have to go? Isn't it awful that people will choose rather to die and go to hell than to admit that they are a sinner in need of the Savior? Well, what a rule though. God says, I want every man everywhere to be saved. The Bible said He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God wants us all to be saved. God said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Boy. Well, if we follow that rule and get saved, then we're on our way. And as Brother Shane sang about tonight, boy, I'm looking forward to that day when I can trade in this old body and pick up that new body. I'm glad for the day when I can trade in all my feeble works that I've tried to do for the Lord and trade them in for a crown that I can lay down at His blessed feet one day. I'm looking forward to trading in all the aches and pains for a body that'll never have aching pains. I'm looking forward to the things that God's prepared for those that love Him. And God's good. But we got rules that we have to follow. And I believe if we'll follow these few rules that God's laid down, it'll make us a better Christian in the days to come. Of course, we see we must be saved, and God wants everybody to be saved. But another good rule to follow is that we're empowered by the Holy Ghost of God to do the things that God's called us to do. You don't operate in the flesh as a child of God. We operate through the acting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what Paul said, or rather Dr. Luke said in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. If I can get over there fast enough. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 18, or 8, God tells us what we need in order to operate. Let's see if I can find it. Well, verse number 8, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea. You know what God's saying to the early church? He's saying to them, boys, when the Holy Ghost of God comes down, then you can do something. And you and I will never accomplish anything for God outside the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Listen to how it was phrased again. Listen to what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, how he gives it to us here. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16, listen to what Paul says. He said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God wants to strengthen your heart and mind, and he does it through the Holy Spirit of God. And so we must be willing to live by that rule. If we'll live by that rule, then we'll accomplish some things for God. And we'll be able to overcome a lot of things in our life if we allow the Holy Spirit of God to direct us and lead us every single day of our life. Now, when you got saved, and when I got saved, the Holy Ghost of God moved in, and we got all of Him that we're going to get. But here's the question. Does He have all of us that He wants? And if we'll learn to allow Him to control the inner man, well, we can do some things for God, and we'll be able to see great things done for God. He says in Ephesians 5 and verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost of God enabling us to do the perfect will of God for our lives day by day. He wants to lead us and direct us. And there's not a sadder position that a Christian can find him or herself in. And that is trying to do the will of God without the power of God. You won't do it. You will not. Listen, I've seen men called of God to preach and to pastor, and they'll last 6 months, 8 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and now all of a sudden they're out. And I want to promise you, not I'd have been out a long time ago if I hadn't just listened to God. Because flesh gets to looking at the ramifications of the ministry. I get to looking at this and that and the other, and I get my eyes on the world and get my eyes on situations and get my eyes on problems. And I begin to do like Peter when he stepped out of the boat onto the water. I start looking around, started looking at Jesus, and I begin to sing. But I want you to know, pastor will ever pastor unless he's got God on him. He'll never last in it. I am as subject to temptation, and I am as subject to failure as anybody sitting in this room tonight. And it's only by the grace of God and the power of God that you and I complete our walk with God unscathed. We got to have the power of God on us just to get through this life, just to make it, just to finish out. We've seen men that have spent 15, 20, 25 years in the ministry, and I'm talking about the last year of their life, some of them just fall off by the wayside. And let's don't be so quick to kick them and run them down, because except by the grace of God, that could be you or I. And by the way, we're writing our testimony every day. It's being written every day. The psalmist, I believe, said we are as a book. We've been read by people every day. They read what's in us. They see what's in us. They hear. And by the good grace of God, I hope nobody in this building will be a used to Christian. Now, when I say used to Christian, I don't mean you're going to lose your salvation. If you're saved, you're always saved. You won't ever lose that. But I'm saying, let's don't be an empty pew tonight. Look around you. Look at the empty spots. I'm sure that some of you can remember others that used to sit in front of you, side of you, around you, that are not in the house of God anywhere tonight. I think in my Christian life, I think of not just preachers, but I'm talking about some of the young boys and girls that was in my youth group that I grew up with in church after we got saved, and I can name you dozens of them that are not in the house of God at all tonight. Sad. And I'm saying, If we want the power of God and do what God wants us to do, we need to follow that rule of allowing the Holy Ghost of God to direct us and lead us and guide us day by day. Hey, we need the empowerment of the Holy Ghost of God, and we need to follow this rule. I'm talking about a heart that just simply belongs to God. And you know what a heart is pure will do? It'll produce blessings. Listen to what Matthew said in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 8. He said this one simple statement. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Well, you know what a pure heart will do? It'll produce joy. A pure heart that's right with God will produce joy. I mean, it'll make you and I glad that we came into the house of God. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord." Are you glad to be able to go to the house of God? That's a sure sign that you got a pure heart toward God, that you want to serve Him, that you want to be blessed by Him. And I'm saying a pure heart will produce joy. I was listening to Dr. LaVon Boltner on the computer this afternoon. And he touched on this subject. He didn't know what I was preaching on. I really didn't. I knew what his message entitlement was, but I didn't know he was going to bring this out. But he said sometimes he'll go to a church preaching revival, and he said, "I'll stand in the back and act like I'm just stretching, you know, and getting a little exercise." And he said, "I'm just standing around waiting for the service to start." He says, "But I'm listening." He said, "Every now and then somebody standing around him will look up and say, 'Uh-oh, yonder comes so-and-so. Boy, that'll blow the service tonight.'" He said, "That speaks volumes." He said, "Is that being said about you tonight?" And I wanna just go ahead and reiterate what he said and say it again. Is that speaking of you tonight? Does people look at you or me and say, "Uh-oh, yonder they come. They're going to mess up the service tonight"? I hope that's not said about any of us. Somebody's got a pure heart, it's going to have joy. And you know what joy does and joy is? It's contagious. Now, bad spirits contagious too. But you walk up somebody not smiling too much, just start smiling. Just shake the hand, tell them you're glad. You know what that'll do? It'll cause them to smile. It will. But I'm saying a pure heart is blessed. God said that. He said, "Blessed are they, or rather are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to see God with joy in my heart. I want to be able to see Him, thanking Him for all that He's done for me. I'm saying tonight, you and I have got joy. We've got reasons to have joy in our heart tonight. I'm talking about many multiplied reasons to have joy in our heart. Number one, mainly because He saved us. Just think about all God's done for us since we've been saved. Man, you and I have been reaping the benefit of salvation ever since we've been saved. I had no clue when I got saved, Brother Shane, that God would do for me what He has done. I never dreamed that I'd see what I'm seeing in my life. And I'm talking about just being able to walk with a piece of God in your heart, knowing that you don't have to go to hell, will bring joy. I mean, I don't have to go. And I'm not a going. The old devil's going. And all those that don't know the Lord. But I'm saying God didn't make hell for us. God intends for nobody to go there. But I'm saying it's joy in my heart to know that I ain't got to go there. I know about I can come to the house of God and we can sing any song we want to, Brother Shane. We can preach any message we want to, Brother Derek. I'm saying any subject can be taught in Sunday school. And I'm saying we can sit there with joy and enjoy the message and enjoy the singing and enjoy the preaching because we're going to heaven. Produces joy. A pure heart. But now if your heart's not pure, it won't produce joy. Or you can look at somebody, you can tell when they're down out. You can tell when something's bothering them. You can tell when something's not right. And I'm saying, but just to have a pure heart, right with God, right with our fellow man, right with one another. And I'm talking about we can come to the house of God, we can sit there and we can say, "Preacher, preach the word of God, preach the word of God, preach the word of God." It don't matter what you preach, I'm going to praise the Lord anyhow. Some people come in and think, boy, I hope he don't hit my sin. I hope he didn't find out about me this past week. I hope he didn't see me go where I went last. Hey, it doesn't matter if I hear you, see you, or know you're doing it. God knows you're doing it. God saw you when you went there, and God saw you what you did. But I'm saying, we got a pure heart. We can come to the house of God with joy. And a pure heart will come to the house of God not ready to get out, but he'll come ready to get some from God. Boy, some people, son, I mean, time we dismiss, son. I mean, the prayer hadn't made it through the ceiling yet, and they already in the car and down the road. Well, hang around a little bit. Fellowship with one another. Share that joy you got with those around you. Because I promise you, you and I will go out tomorrow into a world that it's not full of joy. We're going to go out into a world that could care less about serving God. We're going to go out into a world, my dear friend, that just soon closed every church door in Haywood County is not. And I'm saying, if we can't have joy in the house of God, where are you going to have joy? And the only way we're going to have joy is have a pure heart. Pure before God. Saved and born again. Know that you know him. And then we find another rule that God has for us, is that we just to love one another. Well, it doesn't take much to love one another. In fact, it's easier to love people than it is to hate them. But in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, he said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. So we ought to love one another in sympathy and in other ways. Just love the brethren. God didn't say if y'all got the same personality, you can get along. Or he didn't say if you got the same calling, you can get together. No, God says love the brethren to the point that we'd be willing to lay our life down for one another. I want to ask you tonight, would you be willing to die for your preacher? If somebody come to you and said, boy, I'm fixing to kill that preacher of yours unless you do so and so, would you be willing to say, take me, not him? Would I be willing to say, hey, take me, don't you shoot none of my congregation? I've pastored a few that ought to be shot. They don't ever come to the house of God. They don't show up for anything. The only time they show up is when this scuttlebutt gets out about we're going to vote on something that the preacher don't like, so be there and we'll vote and then you'll see them no more. I'm not talking about that crowd. I'm talking about the crowd that's here tonight. You and I ought to be willing to lay our life down for one another without question. Love! The brethren. John said, as Christ died for us, so we ought to be willing to die for the brethren. He didn't say just die for your family, your immediate family, your husband, your wife, children. And I wouldn't give you 10 cents for a man that wouldn't be willing to die for his family, protect them. Now, I'm going to protect my family if I can. I'm not going to let some burglar come in and just start cutting and shooting. Me sit over there in the corner and say, well, I'll pray while he's doing this. No, sir, buddy. I'm going to go to cutting and shooting back if I can. I'm going to protect him. I mean, that's just instinct. That's what we ought to do. We all love the brethren that much. See, when this was penned, they didn't have the freedom of worship like we do. They were subject to have somebody walk in and declare everybody guilty without a trial and have every one of them killed before nightfall. But I'm just saying, God says a good rule is love your brethren. And I've told you that 100 times since I've been here more. I love you. And I do. I do. I want you to know you got a preacher that loves you and prays for you every day. So we all love one another. Now another rule God says we ought to follow, just simply be obedient to Christ. Follow his commands. Listen to what he said in John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse number 34 and 35. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And we've already spoken about that love that we should have for one another. So I'm not going to so much hold on that. But listen to what he says in chapter 14 and verse number 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a pretty good rule to follow. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if we love him, and if we keep his commandments, we're going to have the blessings of God on our life this year. God will bless us. God will use us. God will do something for us. If we just keep his commandments. But if we don't keep his commandments, boy, we're in trouble. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in trouble. I want to do my best to keep his commandments. I want to be able to love the family of God. I want to be able to have uninterrupted fellowship with my Savior this year. And we can have it if we'll follow these simple rules. And then another rule to follow is our lives ought to be hid in his life. Listen to what Paul said in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We read this verse just a few weeks ago. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Pretty good rule to follow. And you only got one life to live. You won't have a second one down here as far as having an opportunity to do it again. How many of us have ever in our life, boy, if I had it to do all over again, I'd change this and I'd change that. We've all said that, and probably more times than not, we wouldn't do a thing. We'd wind up doing the same old thing. We would. I mean, we'd just do the same old thing. And we'd say, boy, if I just had it to do again. Well, I'm glad I don't have the faith of the Hindus in India. When you die over there, you come back as a fly. You might come back as a rat. You might come back as a cow. Now, if that's living your life over again, I don't want it. People starving over there and got steaks walking and up and living in the houses, some of them. I'd be butchered, grandma or grandpa, ever who it might be, Uncle Ann, I don't care. I wouldn't ask. I'd just take the butcher knife to them and I'd slice her down, boy, and I'd have me some T-bone steak that night. See, that's how sad their rule is. That's how sad their law. That's how sad their religion is. See, God doesn't say we're going to get worse. God says things are going to get better. And one day we're going to lay this old life down. We're going to trade it for a better one. Now, I'm told, man, it's going to be a top-notch one too, boys. Hey, you've already gotten a better life since you've been saved. Do you know when God saved you, he changed you? He changed me? He made us new creatures in Christ, the Bible says. We don't do all these things we used to do anymore. I read the story about old Abraham Lincoln a couple days ago, and a fella come to Abraham Lincoln. Well, actually, he was riding on a train with him, and he said, hey, Mr. Lincoln, how about taking a drink with me? And Mr. Lincoln said to him, thank you, but I don't drink. And went down the road a little further on the train or in the buggy or whatever he's riding in, and the guy said, well, Mr. Lincoln, I got some of the best cigars that a man can buy. How about smoking one with me? And he said, well, I appreciate again the offer. He said, but I don't smoke. He said, you see, when I was a little boy, my mother called me to her bedside, and she said, son, I'm about to die. She said, but I want you to promise me two things, that you'll never drink and that you'll never smoke. And he said, sir, I made a promise to my mother, and I've kept it up to this point, and I hope I can keep it till I die. I'm saying you and I need to make some promises to God and try to keep them. Make up our mind, we're going to love God more than we do flesh. Make up our mind, we're going to love God more than we do this world. Make up our mind that we'd rather please God than please the devil. And just tell him, no, we've made a promise. We're going to live for him. And then lastly, a good rule to follow is just simply do the right thing. I mean, do those things that are pleasing to God. Listen to what Titus said in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 12. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. A good rule to live by is just do right. If we'll do right, we won't have to worry about the sheriff come knocking on our door and saying, you're under arrest. If we live right, we won't have to worry about any of the problems that a lot of the world is facing tonight. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right till the stars fall. Just do right. And if we'll do right, we won't have to worry. We won't have to stay awake at night and wonder. I mean, just do right. He said that we live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. The psalmist said that he rules with his power. And we ought to let his power rule our lives this year. I mean, just make up our mind, we're going to let him be our ruler. And whatever rule God sets, we're going to abide by. If you don't abide by the rules, you get thrown out of the game. If you don't abide by the rules, you'll get a ticket when the speed limit's 35 and you're going 55. If you don't live by the rules, wives, when you're in there cooking a meal, you decide, well, I'm just not going to do what the recipe says. I'm going to just throw it all together. Your husband will be going to Burger King tonight instead of home and eating. I'm just saying there are rules. And I'm glad there's rules. And if we obey them, it makes life a whole lot better. Let's obey the true ruler. Let's obey the Lord. And make up our mind this year is going to be a year filled with obeying Him and serving Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. God, I'm glad that you did set rules down. Father, I'm glad that we're saved and born again. But as a child of God, you tell us there are some things that we shouldn't do. Now, God, you don't just stop us from doing them. But God, you have set rules. You have set laws in motion. You said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God, I pray that you'd help us to reap to the Spirit tonight and not to the flesh. I pray, Father, we'd obey the Spirit of God as He speaks to our hearts. And I pray, God, that this would be a year filled with your blessings and with your touch on our lives. Father, I pray that you'd bless in this invitation. Have your way, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.